Welcome to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.
Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. We want to focus today again mostly on the narrow road as we did last week. That's the road you're on if you're born again and if you know how to really truly live by faith and get into the Word of God and build your faith and build yourself up in the power of the Holy Spirit, you really can have a fun walking down the narrow path. And that is just the truth. On the narrow road, we cannot trust in the arm of flesh, but in the Lord. And a lot of Christians, they're born again, they know Jesus Christ, but you can just tell their faith is always number one in the doctor, number one in medicine, number one in the preacher, number one in the politician. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. Our faith, number one, is to be in Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Lord and as our shepherd, as our healer, and as our deliverer. Can someone say praise the Lord yet? And so we need to stay focused on Him and not on the arm of flesh. Is it wrong to go to the doctor? Absolutely not. I have my own doctor, go to him, get a thorough examination at least once a year. And he says, you know, I'm in fine shape except for one thing, and he's not a psychiatrist. But other than that, you know, I'm in great health. And I know because I have a great doctor and medicine. You know, if you need medicine, take it. If you don't, do not. But your trust needs to always be in God because the doctor might make a mistake. You might take the wrong medicine. Or the doctor might make a mistake and give you the wrong medicine. So our faith has to be that God is going to take care of us and minister to us and protect us. And everybody said, I believe that. Okay. Look at this, Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Now, if you don't think this is an important message, this says if we put our trust in man and not in God, we bring a curse on ourselves. Scary. Thus saith, and I didn't write any of this. And be careful about saying, well, I don't believe that. You cannot just look at the Word of God and say, I don't believe it. It's possible you may not correctly understand it, but don't say you don't believe it until you know you understand it. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land, and not inhabited. How many of you business people have put your faith in some partner or some other company or business and they let you down? And it almost cost you, or maybe did cost you, everything. Your trust has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, even to give you wisdom to know who to partner with and who to work with. And if you're a businessman and have a businesswoman and you have your own business, you every time you hire someone, you need to have the wisdom of God, because God knows what you may not know, and He can reveal things to you. Sometimes He'll send people to you that will tell you things that you need to know. And sometimes people say, well, how did you know this? Well, God told me. But sometimes He told me through people. Yay. We must repent and trust God to handle our problems. That includes our national problems. You know, we need to pray for this nation and all of our leaders every day of our lives. Why? Because we're commanded to. If we really have faith in God, we will do what He tells us to do. And He says, pray for those in authority. And if you're not doing that, and all you're doing is criticizing, you're really not putting your faith in God. God will help us if we will pray, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I've been claiming that promise most of my life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I'm blessed just because I put my trust in Him. When God told me to come here, we prayed until we knew it was God, and then we had to trust him to come with a small baby, without a job, without any way of making money. And we just came, and God spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to bless this whole city because you trusted me and came. Listen, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the woman that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the teenager that trusteth in the Lord. I can testify to that because even in high school, I trusted the Lord to help me make my grades. I trusted God in college to help me make my grades. I remember one time I had a test coming up, and I was praying, and I felt led of the Lord. Don't tell me this doesn't work. It works when you put your trust in God, and you pray and invite him into your life and invite him to help you with your decisions. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me with this test. This is a hard one. I felt led of the Lord to sit down and make out my own test. I made out my tests. I wrote in all the answers. I memorized the questions, memorized the answers. And when I showed up and got the teacher's test, every question on her test was on my test, and I aced it. Amen. That's what you call living by faith. And when you sense and discern the Lord is speaking to you or telling you to do something, number one, if it's something as serious, especially as moving to another city and starting a church, you need to pray through until you know you've heard from God, but then you got to trust him enough to move out and go do it. The secular humanist puts his trust in man. And that's all they have is man. Man is their God. They tell you right up front, they do not believe in God. They believe man started out in the middle of the ocean as a little sail, and then it became a fish, and then it crawled out on the land, and then it became a monkey, and then it became a smart monkey that put on a suit and tie. That's what they trust in. That's what they trust in. And don't laugh at me because I don't believe that stupidity, because it would take a lot more faith to believe that than to believe in my God that's real to me, that leads me and guides me and talks to me every day of my life and has worked miracle after miracle after miracle. And I know it's him, so don't call me stupid. Call me a man of faith that believes God. I could do a lot better at that, but at least I'm putting forth an effort to hear from God and obey him. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Anybody believe that? And some of us need to change the way we live if we believe that. Quit trusting in people. That doesn't mean you don't trust people. It means you pray that God will give you trustworthy people. Amen. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can the arm of flesh be against us? Arm of flesh meaning people, humans. That may be your enemy, or that's just maybe just don't like you. Or maybe some racist that just hate you because they just hate you. I'm telling you right now, you don't have a problem if you really trust God, because he can show up and he can take care of your enemies and just wipe them out. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Can you say amen? And then it says that our enemies will be smitten before our face. Problem is, we don't believe that. But I do believe it. You mess with me, you're going to get smitten. And you say, well, you arrogant rascal. No. I'm not telling me. I'm telling you. I already know the authority I have. God sent me here to tell you that he will smite your enemies for you if you put your faith in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And the Lord shows you something you need to do. You do it. Otherwise, you trust him. I'm telling you how it works. That's the way I live my life and have since I was about 11 years old. I've been up and down and all around, but I'm more focused on it now. Okay, but I've seen it work in my whole life. Look at this, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities. Verse 2, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders. Now notice, he consulted with but did not put trust in his leaders. and commanders, his trust was in God against Sennacherib, which was a great Assyrian conqueror. And I mean, I studied ancient history as a history major in college. And this dude and many like him, they were world conquerors. And they would come in and burn a city down and kill everybody in it. And so Jerusalem knew they had a problem. And he was, verse 6, then he set military captains. This is Hezekiah. He did what he knew to do, and then he prayed. Look at this. Then he set military captains over the people. This is Hezekiah getting ready for Sennacherib. He gathered them together and gave them encouragement, saying, listen to this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Syria. Why not be afraid? Because he has the power to burn down your city and kill you. Why wouldn't you be afraid? Here it is. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Now, you need to apply this to your own life. You know your own circumstance, your own situation. Allow God to apply it. You know, it might be a neighbor. It might be when your kids. You know, it might be somebody at work. But God will always take care of you if your trust is in the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. He said, we're badly outnumbered, but don't you worry about it, for there are more with us than with him. Whoa. That sounds like Elisha, you know, when he told his servant, he says, they that be with us is more than they that be with them. Verse 8, with him, y'all paying attention? Here it is. With him is an arm of flesh. That's what I'm talking about. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Cursed is a man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And maketh flesh his arm. Who do you trust in? And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah. And God's intent today is to strengthen you by the words of Hezekiah. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Sometimes God will just roll in and fight the whole thing and do the whole thing. I've, as a pastor of the church, I've watched God over the years fight our battles. It's been the most amazing things. And sometimes I don't have to fight, and sometimes I do. Remember little David, he had to fight. But it wasn't that big a problem, because God caused his rocks to be smart rocks. And when he slung that rock, there's a man out front of the big giant with a shield. That rock went around that shield and circled right around and hit Goliath right between the eyes. Only God can do that. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You see, Sennacherib is on the wrong road. He's on the right, on the wide road. He's just living life, doing anything he wants to do, conquering people, killing people. But he comes up against the real God. Just listen to this arrogant rascal. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 9. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, they stood outside the city and said these things, trying to scare the people into submission. That's what the secular humanists are doing today. They come to a lot of things trying to scare people into submission with some of their crazy ideas. And we need to be smart enough to read the Bible and go with the Bible. Verse 10, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and what do you trust? That you remain under siege in Jerusalem. Why don't you just give up? There's no way you're getting out of there without just surrendering, because I'm going to burn the thing down and kill every one of you who don't surrender. He really thought he was going to do that, but he was barking up the wrong tree. How many can tell I'm a country boy? I like to call myself boy anyway. Why will you not surrender to me? Why will you not give up? Why will we not surrender to failure and defeat? Why will we not give in to sickness and disease? Why? Because we have faith in our God. We don't give up. we don't give in. If God's ready for us in heaven, that's okay. But otherwise, we're going to fight till we win. Well, why do you can stand in faith when everything seems to be totally lost? Like little Joseph, you know, it seemed to be everything was lost. He had this dream, and all of a sudden he's a slave, and then he's a prisoner. He has no hope of ever seeing that dream fulfilled, which was people bowing down to him. But God has a plan. He just needs people like Joseph, like Hezekiah, that would put their faith in him and trust him, and like little David, put their faith in God and go against their Goliath. In the name of the Lord God of hosts. You see, we have our eyes of faith focused on our great God and his beautiful promises. Verse 11, does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst? These are the words sent to them by Sennacherib. He says, does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? And he said, forget it. Your God doesn't have the power to deliver you. He's actually making fun of God's people and their God. The secular humanists and many people in America are doing that right now. They're calling us bigots because we read the Bible. Some of my sermons are flagged as hate speech right now on the web. Can you say amen? Because I say things like abortion is murder. And things like marriage, according to Jesus Christ, is between a man and a woman. I do not hate homosexuals. I love them. I've got some I consider my best friends. I do anything to help them. But I can't compromise the word of God because somebody tells me to. But for them to say, oh, it's hate speech, they're just liars. It's not hate speech. They're the ones that's haters, and they're whipping up hate against Christians. And it's time we stood up to them. And this guy's standing up to them. It may make some of you nervous, but if we don't stand up to them, they're going to take over completely and poison our kids so they will never believe in God. We do not surrender to the secular humanists and all their lies. We do not surrender because we know that the Lord our God will deliver us from their attack on our God, our faith, and his sacred holy word. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 15. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Do not let Barry Coverson deceive you. I guarantee the devil's telling people that right now. Don't you let Barry Coverson deceive you, Pastor Barry Coverson. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I'm just reading the Bible. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this, and do not believe him, for no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. You see, he had never met the one true God that we know and serve. He says no God has ever been able to stop us, but he just ran into the real deal. There is a lot of fakey people out there, hypocrites, pretending to be Christians. They don't know the power of God. There's a lot of so-called religions, you know, that talk about operating in the power of God, but most of them are just putting on a show, and that's what people are used to. They're amazed when they run into people that really believe in the real God, and they really have miracles in their lives, and they start saying, I don't believe that, I don't believe. Well, because they've never seen it. And in some cases, they haven't seen it because it's our fault. We're not operating the miracle power of God the way we need to be. That this generation has every right to see the power of God that any of us have seen. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and making flesh his arm. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. Now because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. You see, their faith is not in their army. It's not in their commanders and their generals. Their faith is in God. And listen, if you have faith in God, the first thing you're going to do is get by yourself and pray down a miracle. You pray through the victory and you come out of that prayer closet grinning because you know you've got a miracle already and you're just waiting for it to happen. That's the way you live if you want to live a victorious life on the narrow road. You see, we do not have a problem that cannot be fixed in prayer. Verse 21, then the Lord sent an angel, just one. Just one. Let me know, you only need one. I got angels watching over me, but I only need one. The Lord sent an angel, just one, who cut down every mighty man of valor and leader and captain in the army of the king of Assyria, son of Cherub. So he returned shamefaced to his own land, and when he had gone into the temple of his God, which wasn't much of a god, just a false god. Like the secular humanists and many people in this country, they have a false god. Then they come up with somebody's got the real deal, and they think we are hypocrites. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring, a couple of his sons, struck him down with the sword there. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. He not only delivered them that one time, but he delivered them as long as they served God from everyone that came against them. And then it says, and guided them on every side. How many of you want that? Amen. That's the narrow road. But on that narrow road, you got to be a doer of the word. And part of that is meditating in the word of God day and night, praying without ceasing, standing in faith, taking on the whole armor of God. Can you say? Amen. Say something. Okay. Why, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles. Amen. And behind all the evil demonized people is just old Satan himself. He looks so evil and so bad, and he's operating in demonized people. But if we have authority over him, we have authority over the demons and devils operating in our enemy, and we can shut them down. Can you say amen? Recognize who you are, put a big grin on your faith, and get out of your do-nothing and begin to stand for God and his word, and begin to live and act like you might believe it. That includes me. You know, I preach it really good. But when the devil hits me with a 2x4 Monday morning, I'm like everybody else, oh my God. And I go back and dig his sermons out and say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do right there. It is better to trust in the Lord and his word than to put confidence in man. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us. So Asa, he's in a big battle too. This is at a different time, of course. He said, help us, O Lord, our God, help us, for we rest on you. We do not put our trust in the arm of flesh. We're trusting you. We're not trusting our army. We're outnumbered. We're trusting you. And in your name, we go against this multitude. And I'm giving you these little stories very briefly because I want you to get what they said. Oh, Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. Now look, he says, we rest on you. If that's what they had to do, if that's what Hezekiah had to do, if that's what Asa had to do, if that's what Joseph had to do, if that's what David had to do, that's what you've got to do. And how do you do that? You get in the Word of God, and he gives you some promises, and you stand on those through the storm. You anchor your feet on them, and like my scripture on healing, Matthew 8, 16, and 17, Jesus healed all that came to him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that when he came, he'd take infirmities and our sicknesses. Do you believe I'm here? Yes. Do you believe I'm here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Yes. Do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? Yes, I do. And when God, the devil attacks me with something that's a health issue, I put both of my feet on that, and I stand. I said, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I stand on it. And I expect God to heal me, and he does. Oh, Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. That's what Asa says. He says, if they win against us, they're not really winning against us. They're winning against you. And Sennacherib found that out too. The king of Assyria, he wasn't really fighting against Hezekiah. He was fighting against the living creator God that actually created him. And that's what these secular humanists, it's in our high schools, middle schools and high schools now, and colleges poisoning our kids. You see, they're just humans. And one of these days, they're going to run into the real God. He's going to take them down. And hopefully it'll take them, they'll repent and get saved and help us preach the gospel. That's the goal. Can you say glory to God? Not to hurt them, but to save them. Do not let man prevail against you. You see, we rest on you and not the arm of flesh. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Who struck them? Look, it says, the Lord struck the Ethiopians. The Lord's going to strike our enemies if we will trust him. And vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes we get in the way because we're trying to get even. And God says, if you just get out of the way. Okay. You see, because they rested in the Lord and not on the arm of flesh, Asa, like Hezekiah, won. And if you go through the Bible, you find that's the way they won. 2 Chronicles 16:12. In the 39th year of his reign, this is the same Asa. Y'all paying attention. I'm glad you came to church so far. I'm glad you joined streaming so far. Or started listening by radio so far. It gets better right here, right now. Except it's kind of scary. 2 Chronicles 16:12, same Asa. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. You say, well, see there, it's a sin to go to doctors. No, 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 you totally missed the point. His sin wasn't going to doctors. His sin was putting his faith in them to the point he didn't seek God. If you're a true believer, then you, the first thing you need to do is not call the doctor, especially if it's an emergency, that's different. But if you got a little time, get out these faith promises on healing and stuff I've been giving you for the last 40 years. And pray over and build your faith and believe that God will give you a no-so word. Seek God first. And then go to the doctor and he'll direct you to the right doctor. And then he'll help the doctor to make good decisions on your behalf. Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord. He did not seek the Lord, but he put his faith in physicians only. Verse 13, so Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. This time Asa trusted in the arm of flesh, and it cost him his life. He said, well, what I do doesn't matter. I'm going to live till I die. Well, that's true. You're going to live till you die. But you can have a say in even in how long you live. He said, well, that's ridiculous. No. One of the Ten Commandments is honor and obey your parents that you might live long. And then this same Hezekiah, this is the same one. He was dying and he cried out to God and God added 15 years to his life. The Hezekiah was talking about that stood up to Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And this Asa, he has faith in God to believe God for all kinds of things. But then when he gets in a health situation, he puts his faith not in God, doesn't seek God, and dies. Shortened his own life. He said, well, I just don't believe that. Yeah, God's God and he's going to always. Oh, give me a break. Just believe the Bible. And quit listening to some of these crazy preachers. That's one reason why Christians don't believe anything, because some preachers blamed it all away. But if it says it, I believe it. And you can see it, how God has taken care of me and Dottie, if you pay attention. And many of you have been living it too, and you know it just as well as I do. And I'm just encouraging you. You see, this time Asa trusted in the arm of flesh, and it cost him his life. Secular humanists trust in man. You can go with them if you want to, but count me out. I'm not going with that bunch. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron. In our generation, it is secular humanism and Marxism, secular humanists and Marxists, who are the hypocritical liars, who teach things taught by demons because they are themselves deceived. They teach this to our kids and poison them. That's why most of our kids that go away to college never come back to church, because they're loading them up with lies. You can think this is not real if you want to, but boy, we live in a real difficult situation, and we better start speaking the truth or we're going to have blood on our hands. If we refuse to surrender to their deception, they intimidate us by calling us names. No secular humanist, socialist, or Marxist is going to tell me I am a bigot because I will not accept something or believe something that is totally against science, and a lot of their stuff is, against facts, against common sense, and against the Word of God. We do not surrender to the secular humanists and all their lies about abortion and evolution and atheism and marriage and transgender, and that man is just a smart monkey. You can buy their definition of all those things if you want to, but we're all going to answer to God on Judgment Day, including them. We better get it straight. We better get on this narrow road and have fun on the narrow road. Because of deception, they change the truth to be whatever they want it to be. And they'll tell you that right up front. Well, truth to me may not be truth to you. That's crazy. Anybody believes that, they got a problem. There is no truth. What about gravity? What about air? What about the law of aerodynamics? No, that's truth. What about vaccines that work? Is that not based on truth? When the stop sign says stop, is that not truth? What's wrong with these people? You can allow them to poison you if you want to, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ calls himself truth and calls his word truth, and you can go with that secular bunch, the humanist, or you can go with God. And you go with God, you're going to have a much better life, like Hezekiah, like Asa, until he messed up, and like David and like Joseph. Come on! We better be programming our kids with this stuff every day. Not only is it a secular humanist in their high schools and colleges and the middle schools as well, it's also every time you turn the TV on, they have taken over the TV set, and they're just in the shows and movies. It's just, they preach one lie after another through the whole thing. They show men and women hopping into bed together, not married, and they never show the consequences. They show people sitting around drinking and never show the consequences. Hello. We've been poisoned every time we turn our TVs on. And that's why God sent me here to preach this. It's time that we realize what the devil himself is doing. Oh, yeah, we call him secular humanists and Marxists and all that stuff, but it's just Satan. Same old devil that lied to Eve is trying to lie to us and our kids. And when I was in college, I even had a choice back then. But I knew God. I knew the real God. And so their liberal garbage just rolled off of me. I said, I know the man. You know what you're talking about. I know the man. You see, truth is different for everyone. That's just crazy. You can believe that if you want to, but you better rethink that, because that is, the Bible says his word is truth. You can't be a Christian and not believe that. You got to believe that. You got to believe his word is truth. I mean, if his word's not truth, you may not even be saved. So they just make up their own truth. As Christians, we have no choice but to challenge bad ideas and false teachings. And that's what I'm doing. It may make you nervous, but you need to be doing it yourself when you have the chance. You don't need to be obnoxious, but you need to know why you believe what you believe. That's why you need some of these sermons. We must stand against them and speak the truth for our kids' sake. The secular humanists are on the wide road going to hell. And I don't want my kids on that road. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you'll believe it on Judgment Day. So what is the truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen, brother. Amen. Come on. Amen, brother. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Don't tell me there's no truth. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. If you're going to be a Christian, this is what you got to go by. No choice. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They perish because they do not love the truth. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. When we delight in wickedness and refuse to believe the truth, this says God will send a delusion so that we will accept that lie and wind up being lost. But God didn't send the delusion to cause us not to believe. He sends the delusional people who refuse year after year after year to believe, and he just turns them on over to their own insanity and lets them go, is what that really means. He doesn't cause people to believe a lie. He allows people to choose to believe a lie. And that's what it says. Who have believed, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth. They made a choice. These secular humanists and even some of our own people that's been in church with us and some of our kids, they have made a choice to believe a lie. You say, well, then they're done. No. It says their eyes are blinded, but we have praying and fasting. We can pray it off. Can you say amen? Well, I don't know why I have to pray and I have to fast. Well, I just told you. If all your folks and all your friends and all your neighbors are born again on the way to heaven, you probably don't need to pray and fast. But if not, you better be praying and fasting that the Lord God rip the blinders off of them. And so that all, y'all see that? And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. And I had a professor here from UT, he's a very godly man, came to church here a few times. He went to help another church a little bit later. We came back in the hospitality room, and we were talking about how many of these professors deny God. And he said the reason they deny God is because they want to live a sinful, wicked life, and they feel convicted if they believe in God. So they use evolution and other things to get rid of God so they will not feel convicted for their sin. Okay. That's the truth. Now look at this. This is what this says. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. They chose wickedness over the truth. How about you? You're going to choose wickedness over the truth? Oh, there is no truth. Oh, yes, there is. They reject God and his word because they love sin. And you know, I tell you right now, you may be thinking, well, you're kind of hard. Now, actually, it takes a lot more love to get up and speak the truth than it does just to backpedal. Go on to get along. I don't want anybody mad at me no more than you want anybody mad at you. But I'd rather have people mad at me than to have him mad at me. I'm not going to lean on the arm of flesh. I'm going to lean on him. And if he can't protect me, it's all over anyway. 1 Timothy 2:3. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. So there you have it. God's not deliberately sending anybody anywhere. It's up to us to make a decision to believe the truth. Who wants all men, verse 4, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants every one of us to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why he sent me here today to preach this message. We who know the truth must defend it. Our trust must be in the Lord and his word. When we stand up for the word, he will stand up for us. Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Trusting in the Lord and his word is better than trusting in the arm of flesh. This is the narrow road, the good road. Get on that road, serve him, obey him, and trust him, and do not fear the devil are your enemies. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, is what Paul said. And then he says, and will deliver me from every evil work. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people, I'm telling you right now, tomorrow morning when you go to work, remember this, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people who are more numerous than you or evil people, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. Say, the Lord God is with me. Say, the Lord God is with me. One more time. Who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Well, I didn't come up out of the land of Egypt. Well, that's symbolic of you coming up out of Satan's slavery. Can you say amen? Just like he rescued his people out of Egyptian slavery, he's delivered you out of Satan's demonic slavery. Amen. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He who brought you out of your sins, now the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. You see, with him is the arm, with the devil, the enemy is the arm of flesh, but God is with us. God is with you. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. If you believe in the Word of God, God is on your side. Does God pick sides? Yes, he sides with his people. It doesn't matter what color you are either. Amen. Quit worrying about that. He said, amen. If anybody can put their foot on you and hold you down, then he's not much of a God. Hello. But you got to trust him. Is that good? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. The arm of flesh will fail, but my God will not. It's just a matter of believing it. 2 Timothy 4:14. Now here you go. This puts you right in the middle of it. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Is anybody here, somebody's, they've done you quite a bit of harm? May the Lord repay him according to his works. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And so Paul says he deserves to be repaid, so I pray that God repay him for what he did. Verse 15, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. In other words, he fought against the word of God. Alexander, like the secular humanist, fighting against the word of God. Alexander was attacking what they believed and taught. Today, secular humanists are attacking what we believe and teach, even trying to flag my sermons, probably this one this morning, as a hate speech, flag it two or three times. And all it is just simple truth from the Bible. If you don't believe that, you're not going to go to heaven. You got to believe the Bible. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. I'm talking about what it's like living on the narrow road. Paul says, I got attacked and God showed up and he helped me. Verse 17, he says, everyone ran off and left me. All my assistant pastors and preachers and everybody just ran away. Does that happen to you? If it hasn't, it will. And then you got to trust God. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. Verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. The Lord will deliver me and you from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. You see, if we will take a stand for truth the way Paul did, the Lord will stand with us and strengthen us and will deliver us from every evil work. In whom do you trust?
Thanks for listening to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe. For more information about our church, visit knoxvillechristianctr.org.